Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, where it's all about making the ultimate leap from your 9 to 5 and building a business and life you love, all while doing it your way. I'm your host, Amanda Bolin. Let's get started.
Hello, my beautiful listeners. Welcome back to another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. Today, I am so excited to bring a podcast guest to you who can speak on a topic that we all so much love so much. I'm sure Andrea hears this a lot. Andrea Sager. And she is founder of Legalpreneur. So after just spending just 7 months at a large law firm, Andrea quickly found out big law was not the place for her. She was told from the beginning that small businesses were not quite quality clients. As a former small business owner herself, Andrea knew that was not true. It was that defining moment that made Andrea want nothing more than to fill the gap between small businesses and affordable legal services. Yes, thank you. In just 1 year, Andrea has become the go-to attorney. Oh my gosh, you can tell this is like my third podcast interview. Anyway, we're going to leave that. I like leaving, you know what?
That's perfect.
Yeah, it's great. This is what life is, right? The go-to attorney for small businesses. So affordable flat rates and payment plans are what attract so many small businesses to Andrea. And now the Legalpreneur plan is allowing Andrea to serve even more small businesses. So Andrea, welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited about this.
Yeah, me too. So I definitely want to make sure we touch on some general legal information, but then also I want to talk about your journey and transitioning out of corporate America and taking what we like to call your ultimate leap and building an online business, because that is what we like to hear and do as She Did It Her Way, about how women can basically monetize their skill set and build their online business. So tell us, take us back to, you know, you spent 7 months at a large law firm and then you're like, yeah, no way. So take us back to that moment when your eyes were kind of like, what the heck am I doing?
So I had that actual moment because I started at the firm and I actually owned a women's clothing store before I started. I started that in law school, and then my plan was to build that up and then sell it once I started working, because I got, I got the job offer in law school and I was like, oh, I'm set for life, starting out at 6 figures. Like, I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. Like, this is amazing. And I'm not even kidding you. It was probably my first week there that I just saw these older males walking around the office in their suits, and they had been there for their entire life. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I was expecting. But in that moment, I was just like, this is not where I want my butt to be sitting for the next 35 years of my entire life. Mm-hmm. So, yep. And part of me felt really bad because my husband, he supported me and worked all through law school, and he was active duty in the military. So we kind of had that agreement that once I started working, he would stay home with our son and figure out what his next step was, because he didn't want to retire from the military. So he stuck that out for several years. And then immediately I'm like, I don't like it. I want to quit. And it was really tough because I wasn't happy, but I knew at the same time, like, okay, my husband has stuck it out for me. I have to stick it out for my husband. So I stuck it out as long as possible. And then we finally just decided, you know what? We're not happy where we are. We were in Cincinnati, Ohio, and my family is in Texas. So we were kind of like, we both were just depressed and not happy where we were. So we kind of just had a sit down dinner, and we both were just talking about how unhappy we were. And we're definitely, you know, big risk takers. So we just had this talk. I'm like, okay, well, let's do something about it. So we planned on, you know, selling our house and moving to Texas, not knowing exactly what I wanted to do yet, because I wanted to have my own firm to support those small businesses. But at the same time, I mean, that's scary. Like, you don't know if you're going to have business. You don't know what's going to happen. So funny story. We finally, you know, made
the decision. What is this? Like, okay, what year?
It's 2018. Yes. Mm. So yeah, we had a 1-year-old. It was 2018. And it was the beginning of 2018, and we just said, okay, we're not happy. So we started preparing our house to sell it, and we hadn't even had anybody look at the house, and we didn't even have a contract on the house. I remember texting my husband when I was at the office. I was like, listen, I can't stand this anymore. I'm ready to quit. Like, I just want to quit now. And he was like, just wait till we have a contract on the house. I was like, okay, I'll just wait till we have a contract and then I'll quit. That was on a Wednesday. Friday, I got fired. But they offered me a severance package.
Stop it.
Yeah. So two days was the whole difference in our whole trajectory, basically. Wow. Because it was that severance package that allowed us to really not have to worry and give me time to build up my firm.
You know, that is such a, like, it's crazy. I'm sure, 2 days made the difference between you leaving on your own and having nothing. But then there was something that was telling your husband to just wait till the contract, wait till the contract. And by waiting, you ended up getting something best of both worlds. And I know, that's fantastic. Like, that's like the perfect scenario, right?
No, listen, okay. We knew everything was so aligned because we were ready. Okay. We're like, perfect. Like, let's get to Texas. But at that point we were like, holy crap. Like, nobody's even come to look at our house. And our house had only been on the market for like a week or two. But then we drove down to Texas to look at some houses, and on the way back, So my family's down here, and we were telling them goodbye. We're like, well, you know, hopefully in a couple of months we'll be down here. Driving back, the realtor said somebody was coming to look at it. And it was, I'll never forget this, it was Mother's Day weekend. And our goal originally, Easter weekend, we said, okay, we're going to be in Houston by June 1st. So Mother's Day was like the beginning of May. Somebody came to look at our house. They put in an all cash offer. They put in all cash. And they said the closing date would be May 31st. Ended up, they, you know, got the inspection done right away, and the, you know, they're like, okay, we're ready to close when they are. And the realtor was like, well, you know, they need time to pack. And we said, no, we'll be out in a week. So we literally were back in Texas 3 weeks later by May 25th.
That is incredible.
Wow.
So wait, how long then? So when you get back to Texas, you're like, okay, it's go time.
Yeah. Yeah. So we lived with my parents for a month, and just to get a new house. And, I was slowly launching the firm, and luckily I had that whole network of business owners from my clothing store. Seriously, like, everything was so in alignment. I knew I was doing the right thing. And the moment I told them I was going out on my own, I immediately had clients. Like, it was the absolute perfect scenario. Nothing could, like, ever since then I'm seriously just living my best life, and it's all because I know that I'm truly in alignment with everything that I'm doing.
Yeah. And I love, like, it's so, I, yeah, there's like so many things, because you have your skill set, and then you took it and you have this amazing online business, and there's so many other things I'm sure to say, just even about like the legal industry and being disruptive as it is just with this type of tech, right? Like, we're not even talking about crazy AI tech that's built in the legal industry. It's just you coming in with your skill set and saying, we can do this better. We can do this more affordable. And you built this monthly membership program. And so I would love for you to walk us through just the creation of the membership program. I mean, did it start out as a monthly membership program? Like, how did you test it? All that stuff.
Yeah, great question. So I originally, I did not have the membership. I was just mainly doing trademarks, copyrights, and I did all flat fees. So people would just pay me a flat fee. And in that, all these clients who were just trademark clients, they would, you know, email me with general business questions. I had people asking me to pay a retainer, and part of me was just like, I don't want to do that. Number one, there's just so much crap that goes along with having a retainer, and then keeping track of your time on how long you take to respond to the email, and then how long you're on the phone. Like, it's just crap. I'm like, there's no need for it. It's such an archaic model. And I'm all about value-based. And I knew that I could bring more value instead of just having people pay me for, you know, a dollar per minute or whatever it is. But so having so many people email me, and most of the time it's just like, it takes me 5 minutes to read the email and respond, and maybe not even 5 minutes. And at the same time, it's like, I don't want to bill somebody for 5 minutes of my time, but all those little emails add up. Mm-hmm. So then I was just thinking and just thinking, I was like, how can I do this? Like, how do I set up the retainer? And all of a sudden it seriously just like hit me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm going to do. And it has been such a big hit. Entrepreneurs love it. It's the best thing that could have ever happened to my business.
Yeah. So it's kind of like this, like lawyer on demand. So I have your website pulled up right now. And I remember when I first looked at it, I was like, this is freaking fantastic, because depending upon, you know, how much is someone needs and if it's ongoing access and to a lawyer. So how did you decide the pricing structure? And then how did you decide the plans? Like, how did you get to the place where you're like, okay, for X amount of dollars a month, I could have unlimited emails, up to 60 minutes per month for phone calls, 30 pages per month for document reviews. And like, how did you decide that was a plan? Or did you have to tweak and modify it over?
Yeah. So I definitely played with it for a little while. I bounced ideas off of other people. Definitely not other attorneys, because other attorneys are not for this model. I know exactly who my client is, and I know exactly what they need. And I wanted to provide exactly what they need at an affordable rate for them, at the same time making money for me. And so I honestly just kept tweaking it and tweaking it. And I ran a beta for $95 a month. Mm-hmm. So the $95 a month was great. But at the same time, you know, when you're undervaluing yourself, you don't start to regret things or resent your clients, but at the same time it's like, okay, I know I'm worth more than this. Mm-hmm. So I put the beta specifically on the 95 price because I wanted to see how that worked out, and I knew I wanted to raise my prices. And then it just kind of stuck out to me at 127 a month. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I absolutely love that pricing. So it's 127 a month or 1397 for the year, which is 1 month for free. And I love it.
Yeah. And I know that you give some like added value if people do the year, like free intellectual property audit, trademark search, 50% off trademark applications and all that stuff. So how do you, from the behind the scenes, manage the business? Do you have other people that are taking some of the inquiries? Do you have other lawyers working for you? Are you a one woman shop? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So I definitely have a full team now. I want to build an, I say an empire, like I want to have a big firm, mm-hmm. but I want to have like quote unquote big law without the big law prices.
You want a big virtual firm.
Exactly. And because I mean, like, we're all adults here. Whenever I was at the other firm, I could do absolutely everything I did in the office at home, but they didn't care. They wanted me in my desk, sitting in my desk chair every single day till 8 p.m. And I was like, you know what? I'm not about this life. And even now I have one associate, one paralegal, and an assistant, and I'm about to be adding more team members. And with all of them, I say, work, you know, generally be available during general business hours. Mm. But other than that, I mean, work when you want, as long as work's getting done. I don't care when you work. There's no vacation policy. I trust that you're going to get your work done, but I tell them if you're going to be on vacation, like I don't want you working on vacation. So, you know, just let me know ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, we're all adults. You don't need a babysitter. You don't just get your stuff done. That's all I need.
Yeah. What, there's something else that I was going to ask you about running the online. Okay. So before we get into talking about intellectual property and trademark search, because we've had other guests on the podcast that have given the overall, general high level, you know, legal and, incorporating and some of those things, but we haven't really had someone dive into trademarks. So in just a minute, I would love for you to share a little bit on that. But going back to the program itself, what do you find most of your clients are, you know, what are those phone calls usually consist of? What does the document review usually consist of? Like, what sort of documents? Just to give my listeners sort of this idea of some of the documents that you manage as a business owner that you have to make sure that you're taking care of on a regular basis.
Yeah. So pretty much any documents, the big ones are your privacy policy, terms and conditions. Essentially, when I get a new client, those are the first documents that they send over. If they're a service-based business, then they're, you know, one-on-one contract, or if they have a course contract, any contracts within their business. I have a independent contractor agency, and she started working with me from the beginning. So we honestly worked, you know, hand in hand as she was launching her business, specifying every single contract that she had. So she knew from the beginning, like, okay, all this stuff is good to go. I don't have to guess, like, do I have, you know, is there a contractor trying to get out of, you know, whatever, do I have a company that's trying to get out of paying me? So she knew that she had rock solid contracts from the beginning. And I've had a couple of those who, because I tell people, one of the biggest fears I have, not that I have, but other people have, they say, I'm not big enough to have an attorney. And I tell them, no, the best time to get started is the beginning, because you know that you're protected from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. It's so worth it to make sure that there's that protection in place, for sure. And so important. I thank you for sharing that. That definitely is helpful to see, like, how someone could get value out of the membership. And then, my question too, also, like, your experience of running an online business, especially when it comes to membership. So how do you continue to grow and, you know, retain those who are doing monthly? And I am curious, just because we've had a membership before that we ran for a year, and I chose to press pause on it simply because I wanted to commit to it for a year, run it, give it my all, figure out what I liked about it, what worked, what didn't. But from your experience of also running a membership model, what have you learned from that experience?
Yeah, so I call it a membership, but essentially, I mean, it's a retainer to make sure that you have that availability. Mm-hmm. Because one of my fears was, you know, people signing up for a month and then canceling until they needed me again. But I built in benefits to keep them on longer. So if you pay in full for the year, you get all of the extra benefits up front. But if you're on the monthly plan, you get a free IP audit at 3 months. And that's where we go into your business, dissect it, tell you exactly what can be protected with a trademark or a copyright. And then at 6 months, you get that free trademark search. And then the 50% discount on trademark applications comes at 12 months or after a year. But what's funny is that we actually have, I tell people this and they're amazed that 50% of our members are on the yearly plan because of the extra trademark discount.
Yeah. One, especially, okay, so I think this is a really great segue. Beyond the, I think, the basics of the legal, of making sure that your terms of service, your policy, privacy policy, all the GDPR on the website and those things are covered, then it's moving into intellectual property, sort of trademark. So can you walk us through high level the difference between IP and trademark and how they're different and what to look for in case someone's like, maybe my business needs it?
Yeah. So intellectual property is all of the intangible assets that your business has. And most likely, especially if you're a service-based business, your most valuable asset is intellectual property. So breaking it down even further, under intellectual property, we have patents, trademarks, copyrights. And I don't personally handle patents. I have an attorney, that's a contractor that I give all of my patent work to. So I definitely help clients with patents. I just don't personally do the work. And the trademarks are anything that identifies your brand. So the big three is your brand name, your logo, and your slogan. And then we have your podcast name, if you have an online course name, a product line, I just went blank, but yeah, they're basically anything that identifies your actual brand. So people get hung up on the fact that they, you know, they'll trademark their brand name, like, okay, I'm done. And we try to explain, no, really, trademarks are a building block. So essentially, we want to build a wall that is so high that nobody can get into your brand and damage it, damage the reputation. So that's how trademarks come in and protect your brand. They protect your brand from damage to your reputation. And every trademark is basically just more bricks that we're laying down in order to protect your brand. And then copyrights, that is all of your content. That is your blog posts, your photos, your videos, your online course content, the content to your podcast, all of the actual content that can be protected with the copyright.
Gotcha. Okay. That, so when do you recommend people, you recommend doing that right in the beginning as well? Or at what point do you think people, not, I don't want to say should, but like, when's a good time for someone to be in that position to say, okay, it's time to take this leap?
So you have copyright rights the moment the work is fixed. So that means the moment that you finish the work, whether it's you finish this blog post or you take this photo, that then it is afforded copyright rights. You don't necessarily need a registration, but if you want to have that protection in place where you may have to sue someone, then you want to have a copyright registration. And with trademarks, you also have very limited rights if you don't have a registration. Again, I say very limited, and it's not necessarily something that you want to rely on. But I tell clients when they ask, when should I, you know, file for a copyright? And I tell them, number one, if money is an issue, then you don't need to file for a trademark right away. So if money is an issue and you're kind of just, you know, testing the waters and you're just starting your business, trying to see if it works out, then don't file for a trademark, because the process takes at a minimum 7 months. So if you're testing the waters, you don't know if you're going to be in business 7 months from now. So we don't want to file the trademark until you have that momentum and you can safely say, okay, this is a thing, this is a business that I'm going all in with. Then you really want to look into the trademark process.
Okay. That is very helpful just from that standpoint. Law is so fun.
Yeah. And a lot of times I get clients that come to me and they say, okay, I don't necessarily want to file for a trademark, but I still want to make sure that I'm not infringing on somebody else with my brand name. Because even if somebody else doesn't have a registration, you could still be infringing on their trademark. So a lot of clients will come to us before they launch their brand or after they hear me speak and I scare the daylights out of them. And we run the trademark search for them. So it's a comprehensive search that looks at the same and similar marks, because what a lot of people don't realize is that trademark infringement doesn't just occur when it's the same exact name. It can be for anything that is similar. And if it's likely to cause confusion, then it's trademark infringement. So even if you search Google, you search social media, you own the domain name, it's still not enough, because there can be something similar out there that can cause confusion. And that means it's trademark infringement.
That's a good pointer to know too. Especially because I'm sure there's a lot of people thinking, even if they have their business idea, like what steps can they take first to protect their business? Okay. So let me ask you a few questions. So thank you for sharing that too, from the legal perspective, but from your point of view, Andrea, you quit your job and you started this online business back in 2018. It's now coming at the end of 2019. You're looking towards 2020. What do you see, like, what's your 6 to 12 month roadmap or vision of where you would like to see the Legalpreneur membership go?
Yeah. So I want 500 members. My goal is to have 500 members a year from now. Currently I have about 80 members. Mm-hmm. But when I say I want to build an empire with this, I do. Cause I truly believe that, I mean, small business owners need more help with the legal stuff than anybody, because most of them don't have any business experience. So most of them are infringing and they don't know it. So I want to be that person that is reaching as many entrepreneurs as possible and helping them without breaking the bank.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love your mission too. And it's kind of putting a new spin on how people get legal help in that way as well. So I kind of want to move into a little bit of a rapid fire round. So these questions are super quick and short, and then whatever comes to mind is your answer. What is the best $100 or less investment you've made in your business or someone can purchase in their business?
Oh, you know what? I think it's my charging dock. So I have it charges your phone and your Apple Watch. And I think it was right at $100. And that's the first thing that came to mind. And it's the best thing ever.
Yes. What are 2 to 3 of your favorite software tools that you use to help run your business?
Ooh. Okay. So Alt Legal, which is the trademark docketing system, mm-hmm. that makes my life a million times better and easier. And then Calendly. So one of the reasons why I'm able to actually be as efficient and low cost as possible is because I'm not wasting time, giving people information and then seeing if they want to work together. Typically somebody reaches out and like, hey, can I get trademark information or can I get information on this? I have a form email that I send them and I say, look, here's a link to schedule a call if you have any questions that you want to talk through. But it's basically worded in a way like, here's the prices, here's this, determine if it's the right fit yourself. If you still have questions, then we can hop on a call.
Yeah, that's so good too, because you're giving information ahead of time and versus waiting until you get on the call to then ask questions that can be vetted out and fleshed out before getting on the call as well. So that's super smart. So Calendly, you've got Alt Docket, you said, for a patent.
It's Alt Legal.
Yeah.
So it's for lawyers, the docketing system.
Love. Amazing. What's been one of your favorite books that you've read?
Oh, favorite books. I think Money and the Law of Attraction by Abraham Hicks.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. It really changed mindset's such a big buzzword, but seriously it did. And it's helped me in so many different aspects of my life. It's amazing. Mm,
yeah, that is fantastic. I forget the other book that I read, but definitely all the books and YouTube videos are absolutely incredible and amazing. Where is one place that you get your inspiration from?
Oh man. Probably the mastermind that I'm in and then other masterminds, because there's so much gold going on in different masterminds. Like,
yes.
Like part of me is just like, okay, sign me up for all the masterminds. I'm in.
Yes, I'm in. I'll give you my money. Let's do it. It's amazing. Well, this has been absolutely fantastic. I really appreciate you giving your time to me and my listeners, especially sharing like how you've taken your skill set and have built this online empire and business, but then also just sharing your knowledge when it comes to the legal aspects of building a business, like trademark and intellectual property and all that good stuff. Let me ask you, where can my members, no, I'm just kidding. My members. Yes. Everyone who's listening to my podcast, you are a member. No, you are a listener and you are my friend. That is the truth. Where can they learn more about your membership, and connect with you as well?
Yeah. So you can definitely go to AndreaSager.com and you can find the membership there. You can find me on Instagram at AndreaSagerLaw. And then if you look at the membership, I have a special code, HERWAY. If you sign up for the monthly or the yearly, you'll get 10% off.
Oh, amazing. Oh, I love it. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you. I mean, money is money, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, we will link to all of that information in the show notes, you guys. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. And as always, keep doing it your way. If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, you can head on over to shedidherwaypodcast.com where you can access the entire vault of She Did It Her Way podcast episodes and more information all about how to make the ultimate leap from your 9-to-5 and
If you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you headed on over to iTunes and left a review letting me know what you love about the She Did It Her Way podcast. Until next time, keep doing it your way.